your seats, cause it's about to go down. The wheels are about to come off on the Nerdo Roundtable.
The Friday nights are here.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready? It is here, the legendary Nerdo Roundtable. The Friday nights have amassed. Yours truly, King Nerdificent Tawala Sharp in the building. I see Dr. Liz from the freeway.
Hello, everyone.
I see Anthony from way over there.
Hello, everybody.
Ryan, the master of Twitch McBain.
Yay, yay.
Tom is talking Cunningham.
We talk about WandaVision.
And of course, the man, the myth, the legend, Mo Kelly in the building.
Buenas noches. Caballeros y Gestapo. Okay.
I think Tom's name should be something with like catchphrases.
Just like a woman. Trying to tell a man what to do. You probably tell your husband what to do. Don't you?
I mean, like,
Tom, change your name.
Talking is a direct shout out.
That's my catchphrase. That's my Twitch channel. I have so many Twitch followers that I can count them on this.
Boom. Ryan, help him out.
Why not? Why not?
For me.
I can count them on this too. So we're there. Yeah, this is the new level.
I just stream to Twitch because the kids be on Twitch and they're not on Facebook. And we had somebody ask why we weren't wearing masks on a Zoom call.
I saw that. And I was like,
because we're not sitting together.
In the same state?
That's weird.
Yeah.
How old were they?
A grown person from another country?
They probably wore a mask in their car alone by themselves.
I should have said, why doesn't your profile pic have a mask, asshole?
Okay.
See? And we're off.
I do wonder about those people who wear masks in the car by themselves. I was like, so who are you protecting yourself from?
No, sometimes.
Well, maybe it's because they're about to hurry to get out the car. Yeah, I don't know.
If you're leaving a grocery store, like I have, and you may forget to take it off, and you're just in the car and you realize, oh, shit, I still got my mask on. Or right. If you're going a short distance. I mean, we're so accustomed now to wearing it most places. You're not thinking about taking it off in the car. You're not putting it, put it this way, you're not putting it on because you're in the car.
Right. You might leave it on because you're about to get out.
Right.
You heard that person. There was that woman who literally crashed her car because she passed out from keeping her mask on in the car.
I don't believe that shit.
I was like,
yeah, but that's, I mean, there was other factors in it. I think she also had the windows rolled up and it was hot as hell in her car at 100 degrees outside. She had a lot going on.
If you're too stupid to take off the mask and you can't breathe.
Also, that has got to be a lie.
Yeah.
That mask ain't blocking your breath like that, sis.
No, it's not. No, it's not. There are other factors. Maybe she was gassy and just killed herself. I don't know. I'm just saying that there are, or she's wearing, you know, a mask that's not made for ventilation. I read that. I was like, this has got to be clickbait. There's no way this is real.
It was the saran wrap she had covered her entire head in. I think that caused it to happen.
I've seen it all.
Have you seen WandaVision episode 8?
I have
seen it.
I can say that probably for the first time, maybe watching this, beyond just being excited, in the beginning, when we see Wanda and her family, you know, sitting watching American television shows is, you know, which is pretty, you know, kind of, you hear that all the time from individuals who are from afar and they come to America. It's like, yeah, I learned how to watch, you know, or learn speak English, you know, watching TV and stuff like that. I thought that was a very, very nice nod. I know Mo had mentioned that and Liz had as well. But when the bomb went off, okay, I jumped because I wasn't ready for that. And after that was in that episode. I was outdone with how well they are writing these episodes. I think that gets slept on a lot beyond all the Easter eggs and the reveals. What they're doing with this series, this episode in particular, if you have read Vision's Quest, right? And I don't know why I remember that. I think because it was like one of the first comic books where I really saw or they really, you know, got into a quote unquote hero dying. But in Vision's quest, Vision didn't just die. He was just dismembered, right? And you're like, oh, damn, as a kid reading this comic, I'm like, yo, this is crazy. To see them touch on that in this episode, which is later on, but it just brought to mind how well they are writing these stories, how you must have a room of people who are not just together writing these stories and looking at all that the MCU has delivered, but they're trying to go back through all of these different storylines within the Wanda Maximoff mythos and the Vision mythos and tell all these important moments within comic history in this series. So I'm first of all blown away with the writing, but there's so many Easter eggs, so many bombs that they dropped. Who would like to begin?
I like to say that the big reveal for me was when we found out that Wanda didn't actually steal Vision's body and that she just created from nothing her own Vision. So then I was wondering to myself, okay, did someone give her this power? I mean, we already knew she could do hexes, but who gave her the chaos magic? I'm still wondering about that. That's the biggest thing in my mind right now.
Well, Agatha-ness, she made a point of saying when they were in the flashback and she was looking at the unexploded bomb and Wanda was reaching for it. She said, maybe you stopped it. And Wanda says, well, maybe it was a dud. But Agatha was suggesting that all the way back then, she was manifesting a power that was inherent within her.
Yes.
And when she was initially introduced, we were basically told that she got the power from the Mind Stone. She wasn't a mutant because you couldn't say mutants. She was a miracle, and the miracle was untapped because of the Mind Stone. But what Agatha-ness basically said was, is that no, there were other forces at work. And even when she tried to freeze her in the beginning, or when she was trying to do her little thing, and she said, little witch, don't you know that you can't use your spells when another witch has set up this protection? Wanda's powers were never magic-based.
Magic-based, right.
But she could not use them. And so now it kind of recasts everything to... Mm-hmm. We were saying it was the Mind Stone, but maybe what the Mind Stone did was amplify certain things, or maybe it put her in touch with other mystical, powerful forces like the remaining Infinity Stones. But basically what we are learning from this episode is that it was Wanda all along.
Right.
Wanda had powers all along, either as an inherent natural witch or something.
Well, because to that point, when they're under the bed, she, you know, and in every instance you have Agatha-ness going through and recapping what she is seeing happen. Mm-hmm. And she says, oh, so at this point you cast a probability spell and stopped it. And Wanda, and because she's looking at what's happening and Wanda's still like, no, but that's not what happened. It was a dud. And Agatha's like, no. I'm telling you that's what happened, but I need to see further how you got to this point.
Power. Right.
At the moment where we are shown her first coming into contact with the Mind Stone, and which, when you think about it, the way the Mind Stone was used, when Loki first got the Mind Stone and he took over Eric Salvin and enhanced his mental capacity to build the gateway portal, you know, when Ultron used it to enhance Dr. Choi and she built the Vision body, it takes your mind to the next level, right? When you have Wanda, who has this latent magic within her, I haven't explained where from, but when she has that in her, exposed to the Mind Stone, and it takes her latent abilities to a level unbeknownst to anyone ever before, even in that moment, she says, aha, so you're exposed to the Mind Stone, which enhanced your abilities, which otherwise would have died on the vine. Meaning, back to, you have these abilities, and they would have faded had you not come in contact.
But you know what it sounds like? It sounds a lot like the super soldier serum. It takes what you have and it amplifies it. So if you take evil, it amplifies evil. Takes good, it amplifies good.
Okay. I guess my only question is, question or statement is, the Mind Stone either like made her powers like grow slowly to this point, or something else came into effect. I That's why I'm really, really looking forward to the season finale, because I got there's a lot of questions that I have, and it seems like each episode I just have more questions.
Well, if anything, we have another episode. Yeah, well,
one more episode. He said the
season finale.
No,
before the season finale. Uh-uh.
Next one is this last is
episode nine. Eight.
It's nine.
It's nine. Yeah, it's nine. Because mm-hmm. next week is the finale, and then the week after that is the making up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not doing.
This is one.
Go ahead, Mo.
No, they've been consistent where they show the growth of Wanda throughout. When she was shown, mm-hmm. she was like balancing boxes or whatever. You know, just she had very limited powers. And they've said all along that these were the only two who survived the experiments. They basically put it on your mind that there was something in addition that made them special. Mm-hmm. They called them miracles, but now mm-hmm. we can call them mutants. They are mutants, and that mutant X gene is what kept them alive, and it's manifested in different ways with Pietro and Wanda. But to your point, Ryan, I think they've always shown a growth trajectory in her powers.
So there was a blink and you miss it moment in the show that I thought told a lot more than some people might think it told. And that's when she had just experienced the Mind Stone, and she had experienced the Mind Stone by pulling the blue enclosure that had been around the Mind Stone and then shattering it. And she saw this vision figure of this glowing woman or whatever. But when they were watching the tape back, it went right from her walking in to her falling down on the ground.
Right.
And they said, run it back. And they ran it back and it did the same thing. She manipulated reality then. And she manipulated reality that was recorded on
video. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was a really strong expression of her ability. In the comic books, they explored it when she actually kicked up to the next level, there was this broken bar. Mm-hmm. And they wanted her to use her hex magic to fix it. And she did it. And they said, but wait a minute. This video shows now that the bar was never broken. Your power has never worked that way. You rewrote reality to make the bar never be broken. You didn't just fix it. You made it such that it was never broken. And that was like an exploration of the true nature. This is before No More Mutants, before House of M, all that. Right. This was just like in the aftermath of the kids being manifestations of Master Pandemonium and all that stuff. It was showing how she was getting wigged out before she went full on evil sexy nurse in the West Coast Avengers. But that's kind of what they were showing us. They were showing us a lot in this episode that I thought was cool. For me as a person who is familiar with the comics, I felt there was, it wasn't a filler episode, but I missed seeing Monica Rambeau. I missed seeing some of the other stuff because this was basically retreading and recapping stuff, mostly stuff that we hadn't seen, except for the scene that Ryan was talking about, where you see her drop in and our presumption is that she stole Vision. But then she just hops in the Corolla and drives off.
No, it's not a presumption. Right. We were told.
It's a Buick.
That's true. You're right.
It's a Buick.
Yeah, Sword Douche told us that.
And I mean, for me, I love watching episodes like this because I really like the attention to detail and peeling back the layers, especially watching it with folks who are otherwise unaware of the comic books, like sitting down with my mom and the kids and watching, and they're like, oh, but then for me, I'm watching like that actually happened. Like all of these little things are being put together versus like, for instance, with the X-Men, the Fox films, how they just essentially take titles and just say, hey, you know, we're going to call this Days of Future Past. We're going to throw a whole bunch of people who have never interacted at these points within the comic books and put them on the page and then just tell you, well, this is kind of what happened, right? I'm like, I think, though,
that you hear her consistently say with Vision in Infinity War, especially, that I just feel you, right? Mm-hmm. And so this consistent, constant conversation of I just feel you, you get an understanding more of that from this episode of why that statement matters and the meaningfulness of that statement. And you know, I think she's also shocked at how far her powers have gone.
She seems so. She seemed like she was really surprised. And Agatha seemed surprised that she was not as aware of her abilities as she should have. There and okay, to that point, though, I don't know if Agatha is actually the big bad, because did Agatha actually do anything villainous outside of killing the witches who had put her up on a stake and were about to kill her?
She killed Sparky.
What is she doing to the kids? What is she doing to those kids outside?
What did she say about the kids? She said kids. She said the kids, this town, Vision, all manifestations of your power. Essentially letting her know, like, these kids aren't real.
And they weren't real in the comic books until they were.
Right. Well, so again, I look at it, I'm like, has Agatha done anything? I dig that she's on this quest for witchly power, right?
Yes.
She's been trying to get this witchly power, you know, and even at the point in time where the witches were trying to drain her of her energy, whatever they were doing to her, trying to kill her, she was like, please just teach me. Show me how to do that. And, you know, her mom was like, no, you can never be good. Take that. She was like, okay, mom, you're about to die. I'm trying to tell you, leave me alone.
Yeah, it seems like Agatha was just there to see what was going on. It didn't seem like, in the beginning, I thought she was evil, but now I'm like, I'm not so sure.
She was drawn to the magic.
Yeah, she was drawn. Yeah, and now she's like, I feel like she sees Wanda as a villain now because she's using evil magic, chaos magic. So it seems like, I think that Agatha believes that is actually the good guy and that Wanda's the villain.
I mean, because really when she goes through that trip through Wanda's history, it's all about, I want to see how you did this.
Right.
And when she figures it out, she's like, oh shit, you're the legendary Scarlet Witch. Yeah. You're the most dangerous being ever created. Okay.
Well, we were talking about how the little touches and everything. Did y'all appreciate how when she sucked the life force out of all them witches, her mama ended up looking like the comic book Agatha Harkness?
Yes, she did.
Caught that.
Did you see that?
Grabbed the brooch from around her neck, and that's the brooches he kept. And in keeping with Feige's vision of changing comic book costumes to look more whatever modernized, when she finally pulls out her Agatha Harkness kind of costume at the end with the purple and it's got the little webs and all that sort of stuff in it while she's got her little tendrils around the two boys. It was just interesting to me. I agree with Ryan and basically the rest of us. She's more of a gray figure.
Yeah.
She kind of has a little bit of Siler in trying to, well, how do you get the, what are you doing and doing whatever she needs to do. She definitely did some stuff with the Pietro. And she has been moving and manipulating things, but it doesn't seem like it's quite the same as it was when Mephisto was manipulating Wanda in the comic books, where he had an end game that was centered in her doing something. Agatha didn't really understand who Wanda was until the end when she dropped the name. So instead of calling her a Nexus being, that she called her the Scarlet Witch. You are the Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, I'm still and now waiting.
We see more that Tyler, what's the name? Agent Tyler. He's more the big bad, because I'm like, so now Director. You are that government agent from from the comic book, who I don't remember his name being Tyler, whatever. I just remember it was, you know, a government agency back in the day.
Yeah, but Sword Douche for me.
Sword Douche. We'll go with that. So for Sword Douche to now have reconstructed, you know, the Vision's body and taking direct energy from the drone he sent in and saying, now we got the power to bring this thing back online. I'm like, so you're the big bad. You may not be Mephisto. You may not be Nightmare, but you're definitely a douche and you're up to some evil shit.
So do you think, go ahead.
No, well, I was just going to say that was the one. I mean, it was great seeing Pale Vision reassembled. Mm-hmm. That was cool. I will buy that was cool. I wonder though, if you had Pale Vision and you said you had tried every energy source, why didn't you just brush Pale Vision up next to the Hex and just have his body touch the Hex? That's bristling.
Well, think about it all the time. But when he said that, they had had him since like the Vanishing, right? So they've had the Vision body for years, for at least 5 years,
right?
Right. So when the Wanda puts up the Hex Dome or whatever, at that point, I don't know what would have made them make the jump to saying, hey, let's go on and bring Vision's body that we have over here and take it in, because they were not able to access the dome's power
until they got that drone back. By the time you got the drone energy, because even Monica had bits of Wanda energy on her when she came through the dome. I'm not sure. I'm not completely convinced that the drone would just continue to carry Wanda's energy anyway for a couple of days. Maybe, I mean, I guess it did, whatever. But
I think they set that up with the jump rope and everything that came out. Even when the truck was pushed out, it was still half minivan, half space truck.
Which is why when the jump rope did come out, it seems like it would have some Wanda energy on it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just saying, when they didn't just put together the Pale Vision Lego set like the day before. They had Pale Vision. They had been experimenting on Pale Vision, trying to activate Pale Vision, and nothing was working. And that's why the idea that you're bringing Pale Vision in to murder Wanda when it's Wanda's energy that activated him, it's like, that is really, really classically movie dumb of you. Because that shit.
Well,
they also
thought that a drone, you know, would be able to launch a missile strike on it.
Yeah,
like they're operating off of some classic stupid military strike first, sort them out later kind of stuff.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
I feel like Sword Dude knew what he was doing though, because he lured her in. He didn't say, "Oh no, send her away." Nah, hey, send her to my office. Hey, come see this. Hey, look at him. Go. No, don't shoot her. Just look. Just let her look at Vision's dead corpse and all cut up. He knew what he was doing. I think this is a whole setup.
I'm guessing that the drone was in there for a long time. That's why it had some type of energy that they could use. And also, I'm guessing that they didn't really know that they could use that energy from Westview to Power Vision. I'm just guessing here.
I mean, plus she also did strike the drone directly and throw it back at them.
Yeah.
So it's different than something like the jump rope maybe that was pulled out. They didn't see the half minivan, half space vehicle. They don't know that that's there. But their first thing that they have access to in being able to get to the dome has been the drone being thrown at them, because for all they know, if anyone goes and touches the dome, they may get sucked in. You know, they sent in Agent Franklin. They never saw him again. They don't know where Agent Franklin is. They're like, man, let's not touch that dome. Oh, shit, we got a drone from the dome? Let's go on and use it. You know? I don't know. It'd be interesting to see, and I'm curious to see how they're able to wrap all this up in one episode with their still major reveal. They have not hit us with their major reveal yet.
What's it going to be?
How are they going to make this all happen in one episode?
It better
episode?
Be 90 minutes is all I have to say.
Is it going
to
be Doctor Strange? Is it going to be Mephisto? Is it going to be Ray Fisher? Like, who's it going to be?
I think the big bad is going to be Joss Whedon.
Shows up as Wonder Man, I'm going to lose my mind.
Not Ray Fisher as Wonder Man. You know, I have to say, I think it's late to introduce somebody as important as Mephisto, unless Mephisto is the villain at the heart of Multiverse of Madness. Now, they could do that, but I don't think you drop the devil into episode 8 and resolve it. I mean, first of all, Mephisto is one of the most enduring villains in the MCU. He never gets defeated because he's basically the devil. But I just don't see how you say, right before the credits roll of Please Stand By, it's Mephisto, y'all. I just don't see that. You got to close something out. And so I do think Doctor Strange is inevitable because it's so important. But other than that, I'm
Tom,
not sure.
I disagree, and we can use the MCU as a guide. You can resolve this story, but introduce Mephisto like they did Thanos as this lurking shadow in the background who was watching and manipulating from afar.
Maybe, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, you could do that in a post-credits, but I'm just saying, for the audience, So here's the difference between a movie-going audience to me and a TV audience. You've introduced this TV audience to some content that they never would have really explored before. They never would have understood the deep cuts of Wanda's and Vision's relationship. To me, one of the big things is that Vision's coming back. He might not be Jarvis Vision, but we know that Jarvis, there's got to be a backup of Jarvis or something, even pre Infinity War Jarvis. So the core is there. The Mind Stone may have given him a soul or may have given him that special oomph or may have made him worthy or whatever. But even without an animating Mind Stone, Wanda has been able to recreate somebody who had an intelligent conversation with Darcy about his own sacrifice. I can't believe that Wanda was putting those words in his head, because Wanda, you know, he was on the far edge of town and her sphere of influence wanes as she gets further away from you. So it seems like he is at least partially independent. She didn't know where he was when he walked outside of the bubble. So there are elements of like a real Vision. And now that we know that that piece of him, at least the spiritual soul essence of Vision, is existing even outside of his vibranium body, it just makes it almost even more inevitable that Paul Bettany gonna be getting a check.
Oh, he has to. He has to get a check. He has to come back.
I just don't see how you don't do it.
That's probably my only fear is that they do a simple, we send Pell Vision in, it's a whole, I can't kill him, he's Vision. You know, Agatha is doing what she's got to do. Monica has to jump in and I'm going to save the day. And then Wanda's like, no, wait, I can turn him back. And then he, you know, gets a power back. They dissolve the shield and say, hey, Tyler, you're a douche. You're going to prison, you know, because they may wrap it up into a nice, neat bow. But I do feel that with her having such a prominent role in both Spider-Man, now we know can't go home, or what is it? Spider-Man.
No way home.
That with Doctor Strange having a major role as Spider-Man's new mentor in No Way Home, and his role of or his connection and Wanda's appearance in kind of being the co-star of Into the Mind of Madness or Multiverse of Madness, that it makes sense that he would come in and say, hey, I'm going to take you to the Sanctum Sanctorum and we're going to chill there for a while and I'm going to get your head right.
Hey, Tom, it's simpler than this. What's the name of the show?
It's WandaVision.
Thank you. There's no show without Vision.
Right.
They're not killing him. He's coming back.
He's got to be.
I can see one of two things happening. Either Vision like comes back and his memory's wiped like in the comics, or Wanda somehow puts the Vision that she made, his like memories or essence, into White Vision or something like that. Because the Vision that she made can't live outside the world that she made. Right.
That's a good marriage. Mm. Yeah.
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 Nah.
Best of both worlds.
That's typically how they go. Yeah.
Right. Well, it's clear. Yeah. I mean, since White Vision exists and White Vision can move, even if only sparked or jump-started by Wanda magic, then the receptacle for Vision's consciousness exists. And so whether or not they have to bring Shuri in to figure out what Shuri's backup was or her partial backup, because they did have a partial backup of Vision in Wakanda, how it's going to be resolved, I would say I think it's doubtful that it's going to be resolved in episode 9, just because it seems like her trauma is a centerpiece of phase 4 how her trauma is managed. She's not going to be traumatized if he's just back and just regular old Vision. She would be traumatized, just as she was in the comics, if he's ice cold Pale Vision's like, the fuck? Like, who are you?
No. Now here's where she loses it. She loses it when Pell Vision comes in and she remerges the Vision she created with them, and all of a sudden he gets his color back and it's like, boom, I'm here. And it's like, we can live our life happily ever after. You, me, you, and the twins. And then the twins just disappear. And that's it. And when the twins disappear, she freaks the fuck out. Like, it's done. That's the tragic end that makes her a threat throughout the phase 4.
In episode
just
1,
just dealing with that.
it was episode one or episode two, Vision asks, or I should say, Wanda asks Vision, is this really happening? Is this reality?
Right.
And Vision says, yes, it's really happening. So everything is turning on Wanda keeping this reality together. The moment it falls apart, she will fall apart.
Yeah. It goes back to that whole, to the line, even when they said, how do we know what will happen to the world? What will happen to those inside the dome? What happens, period, if she dies? If basically, if she loses it, what happens to this reality that she's created? Can this, would this spread across the entire world? Uh-oh, creating a multiverse.
Well, I mean, what we did learn from this episode is that their lives were pretty shitty. WandaVision, that was an upgrade.
For the better,
because that 70s show mom was sitting at that cafe looking lonely as fuck. So, and Brother Man was walking the streets looking like extra homeless. I mean, they definitely got, they got nice houses. I mean, they got a little brain control. They got good cars, clean cribs,
jobs. Because homeboy who was carrying the damn delivery, like he became an official.
He was delivering pizzas. Right. Now he's working for FedEx. I mean, I know, come on. Upgrades
for real, for real, for real.
And it's clear he was not the witness protection dude. He's just some random pizza delivery dude who gets recast every time and like increasing levels of responsibility.
Right. My man who's just putting up signs on the wall. Look, man, at least he got a job. He wasn't up putting up damn will work and teach you music signs. Like, he had a job.
I know. I wish WandaVision could change the CPAC conference, but for another time.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Just rewrite all them fools.
Ouch. Damn. Ouch. Mm. Is that bad?
Oof.
Oof. Oof.
Yeah, Ted Cruz had to stand up.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. That they canceled Mitt Romney's Twitter account. Oh, no. That was just his fake account. Ha, ha, ha. My bad. That was not funny.
Jesus. He said, man.
He said, Orlando's great. Not as good as Cancun.
Mm. Mm. Texas.
Wow. Oh, those jokes are dry.
Oh, it's bad.
What are y'all thoughts on Spider-Man No Way Home? I like the title. It makes sense. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I hate home. I'm done with the home.
Why are you done with home? No more home?
Mm. Come on, homie.
Homecoming. Far away from home.
No, five movies in. I'm done with home. We
home
get it.
After home.
He's back. He's in the MCU. We got it. Understood. Four films ago.
And
we're
it should have been an old age home.
That's what it's going to be.
No. The next one can be Home Alone, and it could be like a whole joke. Because
I really
like,
did like when Aunt they put out Work From Home. I thought Work From Home was
that genius. Was good.
Yeah, Work From Home is funny.
But I get. Fun. I mean, it's going to still come out. We're going to be in the aftermath of the pandemic when it comes out this crema, only in theaters.
Baby.
With a lead-in by Black Widow, I'm guessing.
Look, I mean, look, they're still saying, look, happening. Black Widow, May 7th. You know, think about it, though. If Black Widow does, in fact, no matter when Black Widow, if it drops on the Disney Plus app or in theaters, we still get five films from the MCU with Black Widow, Shang-Chi,
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man and Westworld, and the Eternals. Four films and three series. That's a lot.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Twala and Tom and whoever else wants to weigh in. I know I spoke about this in a sense on text. Do you believe the hype surrounding the Eternals?
No.
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 I'm still gonna watch.
It's the greatest Marvel film, or what was the tag?
They were really hyping it up. I mean, like it's
like
they,
oh, we're so impressed. We'll
see. You know what it needs though? Jennifer Aniston.
Got Angelina Jolie though. That's enough for me.
They got Angelina, so I'm good there. You know, I'll say this about the Eternals.
That's skinny.
I still need for Marvel to catch a brick for me to doubt them. I was not a big fan of Guardians of the Galaxy going in.
Right.
I really wasn't. I was like,
not Guardians of the Galaxy,
like what? I thought that was gonna be a trash film. And I ended up loving it.
Yeah,
so
same
I mean
here.
Like I see. I see how they could do this film. It takes us to yet another area within, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I don't know. I don't know because these are characters who I've never really cared about. I've right. never really cared about in any comic book continuity and any crossover. I've never really liked the space centered, you know, Marvel comic books. I've never liked the Star Jammers. I've never liked Nova. You know, I just didn't get into them. They just weren't exciting for me because you're fighting always some alien creature who has no real impact on this Marvel you've created, which basically centered around New York until you had the West Coast Avengers. But I was used to the Marvel where everything happens in New York. You know, you got if you've got, you know, Silver Surfer coming to New York, fine, I'm with it. But otherwise, I didn't care about him. He's not like these are characters who there was never anything interesting about them.
You know, there is one reason why this movie is being hyped the way it is.
Angelina Thanos. Jolie.
Thanos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Thanos
yeah.
adjacent. That's the only
yeah.
reason.
Yeah.
Because when you think about the Eternals, again, the Eternals were basically, you already had a lot of Greek gods in Marvel continuity. Mm-hmm. And you had
Hercules
as a demigod playing with the Avengers. You had Zeus as a figure, kind of like, I mean, not as present as Odin was, but Zeus was also a figure. You know, you've had these gods. And the Eternals were part new gods.
Yeah.
And part proxies for Grecian gods.
Yep.
So you had Athena, you had Circe, you had Icarus, you had Makari, who was Mercury. They were, you know, they were basically supposed to be these godlike characters. And because Kirby was involved, it was like, well, this is going to be my fourth world group of people. And they had the crazy costumes and all that. I'm not buying the hype at all.
Mm-hmm.
But they can put young Thanos in here. And so that's what it is. That's what it comes down to. That yeah. young Thanos is.
Because what's the name? His bro, what? Not Star Fox. What they call him in this? They're saying that, Star Fox, they say that he makes appearance. Kit Harrison as Black Knight, which is an interesting addition.
Right.
You know, so that's what I'm like, saying. Like to me, it's turned into something. I'm like, what are you guys doing with this film?
Right. You know what I think the hesitation is that when you guys got Avengers, the first one, you had a little bit more of a build, right? And then, and you had people that you were kind of already become, that you, so most of them you were familiar with at one point. Maybe you weren't as familiar with Thor, but you were definitely aware of the Hulk. I'm talking about in film, right? Mm-hmm. In film and,
yeah.
and TV shows, and etc., right? And so I think that Eternals, it seems kind of strange. I'll say it's strange that we would get an Eternals this soon, because think of how they do their buildups with the first Avengers. It was a while before we saw a group. And then it was another while that you saw the second group. And then you have crossovers. Now we're at a point where we're getting all these new people that we haven't really seen too much or know too much of a story of. And then you have to pause and like, do we really need to know this much about the context of Thanos? Like, really? Like, yeah. I thought it seems to be strange because it doesn't seem like we know enough film-wise, TV show-wise, to really get into the story to have an anticipation of Eternals.
Well, especially a group that's supposed to have been around since like the beginning of time. And now you're that's like, my, okay, yeah. So where were you guys at all this time?
Yeah, exactly. When Thanos was wreaking havoc, where were they? That's my biggest question.
Well, they were kicking it on Titan, right? Well, not Titan.
Yeah, but
Thanos
also
destroyed Titan.
No, yeah,
I don't understand. And look, let's remember, they've already had extraordinary bad luck with a similar group of characters that nobody really knew about that were supposed to be in a feature. And they ended up pushing them onto television, which was an abject disaster.
Inhumans.
That was horrible. Inhumans.
That was horrible. When they cut, when Medusa got her hair cut, I said,
"Oh my god!"
We don't need to talk about that.
I'm sorry.
So, but this is my point. Yeah. The Inhumans was a precursor. I mean, and technically they're related.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Inhumans were a precursor to the idea of, okay, we struck gold with Guardians of the Galaxy, a group of people that nobody knew about. So let's take all of the humor, all of the charisma, away and throw some other people in Hawaii and see how it works.
Well, you can thank Scott Buck
and for that shit did not work.
Yeah, because Scott Buck was tied to it.
Yeah.
Let me say that in my head, I'm thinking that this is going to be similar to Thor Ragnarok. Because
Eternals?
How so?
I told you in my head. Because I'm saying, like Thor
and Grandmaster.
Yeah, right. The whole space where you see that whole space where he's, you know, with Grandmaster, etc. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, so the Eternals is taking a little snippet off of this to begin to explore more of what that glimpse of the movie is going to be like on a larger scale, because Thor Ragnarok did really well.
Mm. But Thor Ragnarok wasn't centered on 12 different people that you're introducing for the very first time. You only were introducing Valkyrie and that's Tessa. So, I mean, fineness. And then you were introducing Jeff Goldblum and then you already had Thor and you had the Hulk. And everybody wanted the Hulk, and Jeff Goldblum was funny, and the his major domo, the mean chick who turned people into goo, she was funny, and Tessa Thompson was fine, and so that worked.
She had good teeth.
Well,
that too.
So you have two people who anchored the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, three, because Loki was in it.
Loki. Yeah.
So you had three people that anchored the movie. You added a fine black woman. You added funny Jeff Goldblum, and that's what created it. You have no known quantities in the MCU who are in this movie.
I know.
Nobody. I know. And Chris Pratt.
But my point, I agree with you, Tom, but I'm just saying that I think that in my mind that this is where the only thing that we are getting connected to is what is this existence. Because remember the scene where you have the Hulk on the wall and you saw all of the previous people.
The champions.
And it's like, okay, all the previous champions. And I think that is like, okay, let's explore this notion of these champions. I mean, it seems strange, I agree with Liz. That you would come out this year with the movie. But I feel like they're taking a page out of that glimpse of Thor. And seeing like we've done it before with Guardians of the Galaxy, we can do this.
Hey, Liz,
and also what's his name? Correct me if I'm wrong, Tom or Ryan or anyone who reads comic books. Wasn't the Collector, Benicio del Toro's character? Wasn't he also an Eternal?
Yes.
No. The Collector was not an Eternal. The Collector was like Grandmaster. The Collector was one of the
They're brothers,
elders of the universe.
Okay.
So it was Collector.
And what is Grandmaster?
Champion, Grandmaster, the Gardener, the Runner, and the last one. Oh, the Soul Stone. There wasn't a last one. It was just the Soul Stone was the the caretaker of the Soul Stone was Adam Warlock, who wasn't one of the guys.
I got to jump in here because I think Liz is onto something, and I think she deserves credit for it. Going back to Guardians of the Galaxy, we were exposed to nowhere, okay? We're told about the Celestials. We're told about the Eternals. So it's not completely foreign if they tie it into the other movies and characters in an oblique way. I think there's room for people to really enjoy it because I think that if they made if you can bring in Thanos, you can bring in the Grandmaster. You can see how those worlds would tie together. I'm just saying as a fan, I can see how they could make just references or allusions to or show a quote-unquote younger Grandmaster as well as a younger Thanos and how these have always been players in this universe.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree, but I do think the nowhere reference was more of a one-off, kind of like seeing Beta Ray Bill's head in Sakaar on the Collector's world, or the Grandmaster's world, rather. It did, to me, that's not enough to say, okay, because we showed an empty Celestial head with Celestial meat on it, we can introduce 9 characters that don't nobody know nothing about, and it's going to be a hit, and go. Chris Pratt was a known quantity from television. So audiences knew Chris Pratt and knew what to expect from Chris Pratt.
And he had lost all that weight.
He had lost all that weight, and he had men's health covers with a six pack.
Angelina's lost weight.
Yeah, but that's not a good thing.
she lost it and never gained it back. Like she needs to find
it. She's still losing. And then you had
Selma Hayek. You got homeboy.
You got names.
Brian Tyree Henry.
You have Kumail Nanjiani and all that. I'm not saying you don't have names. I'm just saying that Salma Hayek is not a star like that anymore. And Bliss is awful, in case you were
worried. Jamin Hansu, Zoe Saldana.
They weren't big. And Jamin Hansu, that he wasn't really a major character. The thing that it was hung on Chris Pratt and Bradley Cooper is in it too, although as a voice actor.
Mm-hmm. Vin Diesel was hot too.
And Vin Diesel, but I mean, really, it wasn't Vin Diesel any more than it was
Dave Bautista. No one was checking for him.
Nobody was checking for him, but at least he was a known quantity and he was in there to be a big muscular thug. So it worked. And Zoe Saldana from Colombiana, she's had chops being a bad bitch. So I'm not mad at it. And it worked. It did work. But I think it's a little bit different. Where are the teasers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why haven't in the absence of real movies, haven't we seen a real trailer of this movie? We've seen panel from Comic-Con. I've seen interviews with Kumail Nanjiani talking about, hey, well, he was in the best shape of his life. He got ripped because he had to do this. That was a year ago. We ain't seen no trailer. We've heard we're going to see young Thanos in this movie, but we haven't seen nothing. All I know is that Paperboy from Atlanta is Hephaestus, and he's gay. Angelina's skinny. Salma must have had a breast reduction to fit in her outfit. Mm. And that
she's still popping.
No,
Selma's still popping.
Got it in the going album. On. Yeah. You need to follow her on popping. Instagram. Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
definitely would lay Jennifer Aniston over a puddle to make her walk over it.
You know what? Y'all are haters.
Not hate. We love Salma Hayek.
In Anthony's defense, you could put Ryan's jacket underneath
her jacket
so that she had a nice dry resting place before Salma Hayek stepped on her back. And
if he happens my jacket, I'll snap like Wanda.
Jennifer Aniston should know that I don't co-sign with these fools. Because y'all fools for not... for hating on Jennifer Aniston.
No, I think Jennifer Aniston co-signs this. She's probably a
beautiful
person. No, she don't. She's gorgeous, and she was excellent in The Morning Show on Apple TV.
Jennifer Aniston knows she needs to lay over puddles for Angelina Jolie to walk over. She knows that.
I have been stuck on Apple TV. And I finally found the one show that I hate, I absolutely hate, and I'm sure there's going to be a second season. Jason Momoa's show.
Yeah.
Hate that show.
Wait, you hate a show with Jason Momoa and you loved Aquaman?
What's going on? Oh, Lord have mercy. It is just, I hate that show. Like, I really do.
Are you a Game of Thrones fan?
They're all blind.
They're all blind.
Yeah.
What are you telling me right now? Everyone in the show is
whole
blind?
Everyone in the show is blind except a few people who have this special ability to see, and they're called witches.
Oh shit! And okay.
That just sounds like a bad show.
It does. If that was the log line, I read that. I'm deleting that off my computer.
Everybody's blind.
I never understood how you can have if there's fewer people in the world, then we all just revert back to, primitive state in life, because we don't remember that we used to build buildings and we had aqueducts. Like, I just don't understand the premise.
Is it like a millennia after this time? Yeah. Like, is this set like 150 years in the future?
It's after M. Night Shyamalan's After Earth.
Oh no! Okay.
No, I'm kidding, but it might as well be, because they're both awful.
Post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, maybe they were left over after Thanos snapped.
Maybe.
Okay. We're getting somewhere. We're getting
somewhere. And there's now three generations of people who have never saw. And so, like, this notion that there's people who actually see, I don't know, and then human mankind lost their notion of seeing because they treated the earth so bad, and so the earth revenged them.
This description is actually making me mad.
Oh, this is definitely a movie.
Wow. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ryan. But
I'm just looking sternly into space because this sounds awful.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of Aquaman, is it true, the rumor I heard that Amber Heard was fired? Is that true?
I did read that today.
Okay.
I heard that today.
I actually have a little insight on Amber Heard and her way of being. Yes, she was a bit of a spitfire, and she was a physical person. So
I don't know what that means.
It means that maybe Johnny wasn't lying. And that the hit he took career-wise on the heels of her allegations may not be completely legit.
Oh.
And this is the repercussion, because the rumors about her being fired, you know, vis-a-vis the then allegations that Johnny Depp was making about how she actually, you know, was abusive and da-da-da-da-da, all that. There were rumors then that might be the end of her. And, you know, partially it was because a bunch of, you know, fanboys were kind of like, she can't get away with this if he can't get away with it. And so there was kind of a little bit of an uproar for a while, but it looks like it is finally a shooken out. Now, I think it's, I wonder if it has been absolutely confirmed, but it would not surprise me. I was kind of waiting for this fin to drop.
Speaking of droppings, I heard that she had some droppings in Johnny Depp's bed.
That was the dog.
Yes.
Or so the court case says.
Look, but the court case also said that these dog droppings were person sized, and the dog was little. Okay.
It was dogs
don't poop. As a person who has owned dogs, Mo, does your dog randomly have ever pooped on furniture?
Never. Never. Because they're not going to poop somewhere that they're going to lay down or they would rest in. They would not poop in their, like, if you put them in a cage area, they're not going to poop in a cage because it's too close to where they live, per se.
And it's something about the muscles, too. When a dog is lying on the bed, you know,
it's not a firm enough surface.
Right. Yeah. Our dog has never pooped on a bed.
The only way if they poop in some place that they lay is if they're absolutely sick. And they're having like if it's uncontrollable, but do they intently do so into someone's bed? No.
Look, Amber Heard is a bed shitter and she should be fired. Okay. That's the bottom line. So she is fired. Happy day for me. Boom. I don't want to see her call whack ass in Aquaman 2 anyway.
Those in favor? Aye.
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 Those opposed?
Hey, okay. All right.
Motion passes.
In the world of DC though, okay, are there any eyes for Ta-Nehisi Coates and J.J. Abrams getting together for Superman?
I don't know what this is gonna look like.
You know, I'm a fan.
For you, it's gonna look like Michael B. Jordan, apparently.
I don't want that in the worst way.
I don't think it's gonna happen.
I promise you. I don't want Michael B. Jordan with an S on his chest. I think that's the worst possible shit.
I must say that if anybody follows his career and has read his writing and blah, 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 I said it in the chat. He is chucking and jiving for this opportunity to come along. I don't think that he would be in favor of doing anything that is too far outside of the norm. I don't see him putting his neck out for anything.
You're talking about Michael or Ta-Nehisi?
Ta-Nehisi.
He did Black Panther. I mean, you know, he wrote Black Panther.
I didn't really like that run, for what it's worth, but it was.
Oh, the comic book run. Yeah,
I didn't. Not really. I don't. You know, here's the thing. I don't see how Michael B. Jordan, who was part of one of the worst received superhero movies ever, is your go-to when you're recasting Superman. Now, granted,
no,
DC has a whole like 73 Supermen right now. And so finally giving the nod to the Superman of Earth 23. And to Michael's credit, he said, it's a different thing recasting me as a guy who lands in Kansas versus casting me as Calvin Superman, who is a Superman from another Earth. Mm-hmm. That is a different thing. I don't disagree. They've done Infinite Earths on the Arrowverse and everything else. And apparently they're blithely doing Infinite Earths by having 6 Jokers, 3 Batman, and a Partridge in a Pear Tree. So yeah, fuck it. Do it. I don't care. I just don't like Michael Jordan in the role because it's a lead role and people are still holding out hope that he's going to come back to the MCU as, you know, Liz's fantasy Killmonger.
He will be. He will be.
He will be.
Not yeah. if he's Calvin L or Calvin whatever his name is.
I think
he won't be.
That rumor that's been jumping off is just because when they first start talking about the idea of there needs to be a black Superman,
right?
He was instantly thrust into the forefront as someone that people wanted. I hope and pray that he doesn't want it. I hope that that's not something that JJ or Ta-Nehisi are really thinking about doing, because that would be whack as shit. Just as whack as giving us yet what? Another Superman reboot. Because if it's not Henry Cavill, what are we doing? Why do we need yet another iteration of the Superman story?
Wait, can we stop right there?
The idea is stupid.
Can we just talk about Superman and Lois real quick since you went there?
Oh, Jesus.
Dude, I haven't seen it.
That shit was so bad. It was.
Really? I don't like him. I don't like him as Superman. I don't know if I was. I don't know who. Maybe I did it in the chat. He is the male version of Supergirl. He is not Superman.
No, he isn't. Mm. I mean, you're right. You're right. There's nothing Superman about him. He's so thin.
He's aluminum wrist.
He's so thin. They're having to build out his costume.
That's true.
With sponges. He's like you could see in the. He's not built like Henry Cavill. No. There's nothing to him. And the storyline is, for the people who don't
know,
he marries Lois Lane, they have 2 kids, and they fast forward to their teenage years. So the teens are going through all sorts of teen angst problems. And Superman is trying to balance being a superhero and raise a family. That
are they
shit.
Super kids?
They deal with superhero? That. They deal with
One
that
of in, them is.
Yeah, they deal with that in the first episode.
All right, so is it Jonathan Kent? Is he the superhero at least?
No.
No?
No.
Okay, so I only ask that because in the comic books, Jonathan Kent becomes the next Superman.
I can't remember.
But they're trying to go with the least athletic, the bullied kid is the one who becomes the superpower. You know.
Okay. All right.
I think what really bothers me, I know it's a small thing, but they don't have another Lex Luthor. Like how many? I really need in this,
it's not John
in this
Cryer?
World of DC.
No, there are not DC. Any of those crossover characters. No. With the exception of this Superman, which comes from the Supergirl.
Supergirl.
Right, right.
Yeah. So no John Cryer as Lex Luthor, even though in the Supergirl universe, he was the Lex Luthor of that Superman.
They don't believe in.
I need name tags so that I can understand who's who, because they keep changing the characters. Like, I need for y'all to make sure that y'all put the name underneath them so I can keep up, because I can't keep up with the name changes and all the cast callings. Like, I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm over it. I'm over DC. I'm about to just let it go.
Okay.
I'm letting DC go.
Look, now I don't even know if I can watch it.
Well, we have to say this.
Ready to go, and I haven't.
Before we let go of DC, we have to give a show's note. We are going to have the star of Batwoman, Javicia Leslie, here on Nerdorama coming up. So, you know, shout out to DC. We're not giving away DC, just that show.
No, because again, I love every single thing that Black Lightning is doing. Black Lightning is on fire. You know, Flash, we'll see when they come back. And I have grown to love Batgirl or Batwoman because I'm like, I like Javicia Leslie's Batwoman a lot more than Ruby Rose's.
Season one?
then yeah, because okay, I just think just she's more relatable and more likable as a Batwoman. Shit.
See, and this is the problem that I had with the first season. And it's like the first season, it was almost like what, one or two sex scenes, and they over sexualized Batwoman. And I was like, and it's as if, I'm not saying that we didn't, like, I don't care about seeing the sex part, but it's the fact that, why do you feel that you have to over sexualize her? You didn't over sexualize anybody else. How many sex scenes do you see with Supergirl? The Liz, current I got a question. Batwoman, it does not have a sex scene yet. But you had sex scenes since episode one of the other last season.
Was Ruby Rose's Batwoman, was she straight or was she lesbian?
No, she's lesbian.
She was lesbian. I never watched that lesbian show, so I mean, like,
well, here's my thing,
I have a problem with that over sexualization. It's like, why did you feel like, I mean, yeah, she can have a relationship, but do you have to have her in bed every single episode?
But they did that with Arrow. I mean, Oliver Queen was bagging them left and right. I mean, it's like,
but
like
they
do that all the time.
But they're not doing it for this person. No, well, but they're not doing it for this
I'm actually woman. Glad they're not.
Exactly. I think maybe Ruby, and I don't know this for sure, but Ruby hangs her sexuality on her roles. And I don't know if she was trying to be a representative of lesbian characters who aren't, you know, exactly on the front lines on a whole lot of shows, and certainly not title people in shows. But I will say one of the things that I do like about her better than the other iteration is that they basically made her family proxies for the Waynes. Mm. So it was just like, here's another person who's not Batman, because we can't do Batman and we're not going to show Batman on TV. So let's just another impossibly rich people. And you got the Fox proxy and, you know, you've got everything except Batman, but it's Batwoman and she's got a wig sticking out the back of her cowl. I mean, it was just like this girl, at least she has a different thing going for her. It's a different story. It's a tragic comic book story of loss and all that, but it's not all wrapped up in the exact same tropes as Batman, but not Batman.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's a credit to her. And she is engaging. She's not, you know, she's not bad and she's not horribly miscast or anything. It's just, if you're going to do a character death and replace a character, it's safer when nobody's really checking for the character like that. I mean, let's keep it real. And B, when you give that character a different take, they didn't just say, oh, here is an impossibly rich black party girl who came in and found the costume laying on the floor after one of Kathy's parties one night, and she just decided she was going to be Batgirl. She had a reason that she needed the suit. She has an agenda that she's trying to use the suit for, and that for me works.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Season two is much better than season one, but that's not saying much because I'm not a big fan of either season. But I do think I feel still that they didn't do season. I don't think they gave season one as good of a chance that they when it comes to writing as
well,
they did.
I think it's because of what Thomas just said. It's like they're crippled because they cannot use Batman in a Batman show. They have yet to actually use Batman in a Batman show. You know what I'm saying? It's like
they had the guy playing Bruce Wayne on the basis of cosmetic surgery, which I guess that's the best cosmetic surgery healing ever, because you just don't ever get somebody who's looking like a twin.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it's tough. The DC is crippled by their inability to use Batman in a series, which is why we got Gotham. You go all around the way to give us a Batman series. Even in the spinoff from The Batman is going to be GCPD. So it's still not HBO Max is giving us yet another series that's Batman adjacent. It's like, stop making Batman related things. I get that he's your big seller. You know, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, those are your big sellers. Got it.
But how can he be a big seller if you can't ever use him?
Yeah.
It's like just putting Bat in front of somebody, it isn't the thing. That's not gonna work.
Yeah, it's trash. I mean, at least with Supergirl, they did give us Superman. They said, okay, no, we're gonna give you Superman. And now we're getting a Superman series. So it's like, I don't know if as far as the rights to the character go. They have more access to Superman because the Siegel family has said, no, you guys can keep using Superman, versus the Kane family who has said, no, no one can use Batman. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. And I know there's been a long standing beef with the Kane family and DC as far as the rights and how they feel like, yo, dude, you guys don't even give, you know, the creator his due credit when you're doing these films, which is why they start having to put that in the beginning of shows like Batman created by Bob Kane or whatever. And it's like, they're like, yeah, you know, like there has been beefs. I wonder if there's something deeper to it. But ultimately all these shows suffer. And I mean, look, we got, you know, the Supergirl's on her last legs. Black Lightning's on his last legs. They have a Nubia series coming, which I think Naomi series, which will be interesting because no one knows Naomi. I read the comic book. It's an interesting story, but it's DC, as far as their TV go, I'm like what happened to the people who were in the beginning creating all this hot stuff? Where do they go? You know, are they scared? Are they worried that Ray Fisher is going to come after them? I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what's happening in the
world. They went to Mars.
why you gotta do that to Ray?
Shit. That's all I got. What am I missing? Tom, what are you saying?
Unmute yourself, Tom.
That's a question for you, Tom.
I would just say that I am pleased that they have started production on Cobra Kai season 4.
Boom.
Yes.
And they have not replaced Daniel LaRusso with Ray Fisher or Jennifer Aniston. Oh. So we're winning on that one. Although Daniel LaRusso is the villain of Cobra Kai.
That's the whole point.
He is the villain.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he is definitely the villain.
Although Kreese's poor little bow-legged hobbly ass, he's kind of villainous too, but Daniel LaRusso is a dick.
Yeah. He's become the character you love to hate.
Every character, like,
between him and Daniel. Robbie, I don't know.
Every character reminds you that Daniel was a dick back in the day. Even when Allie showed up. You know, you're a dick. That's why we broke up. You, dog. All you. Oh, and Twala, as far as what I'm watching, I have to say this again. I owe you an apology. And shout out to DC. Titans. It's fantastic.
Yes.
Wait, is there a new season or something?
Yes, two.
Are you
seasons.
Talking about
Mo didn't watch it in the beginning.
Right.
Oh. I'm sorry. That Trigon is not the business.
Trigon aside, that series is dope.
If they did a movie off for the best episodes, it'd be better than any of the DC movies out there.
And
not saying a lot.
But still,
I guess my only thing about Titans, and this is the father in me, I guess. So kind of like how Liz feels away about the sex scenes. Could we get through a single episode without 742 fucks?
No.
Is that like absolutely necessary that Dick Grayson is just a fuckity fuck 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 machine? I mean, it's like, it's not necessary. You're just, ooh, we're edgy because we say fuck an awful lot.
He has issues. That's how
I get it.
Look, he was raised by the Joe Jackson of the DC universe.
He doesn't know love. Damn, man. He can't respect anybody. Shit.
Are you saying he was regurgitating?
Batman is not a fun guy. They really let you know how bad it is to be brought up by Batman. It's like, yo, this dude is an abusive, horrible individual. Batman is not a hero in this series. It's like, dude, you are an abusive
No,
my only beef with that show is Batman's too old. The character he plays him is just too old.
He is super old.
Yeah.
And that was confusing to me because I was like, is he supposed to be like Dark Knight Returns or Return of the Dark Knight?
See, that didn't bother me. That didn't bother me if only because they're running through two Robins. I mean, years of Robins. So I'm expecting Batman. There's Batman is just the Dark Knight. He's out there doing it by himself. Robin is not added until years later. He spent many years developing Dick Grayson before he had Jason Todd and so forth. That didn't throw me off.
I dig it. I thought season two got just out of control, though, because I thought that Deathstroke was fresh. I thought Isai Morales really brought it for Deathstroke.
I
feel bad for Hawk. Bad for Hawk because, like, the first episode, they gave him a weak, I repeat, weak dick game. Like, he was having sex with this girl. He was like, oh, man, they made him like he couldn't get it up. Yeah, literally. I was like, damn, man, you gonna do him like that?
Look, man, hey, some dudes experience that, man. It's real, man. It's real in the field. ED is a problem, right? Why are you hating on the ED crowd?
It's a medical problem with a medical solution.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's all I'm looking at right now. I'm catching up on Titans.
Liz, outside of Amazon, what you seeing?
I'm not watching Amazon. Yo,
Apple.
I am on this one person crusade to finish all of Apple. So I finished Home Before Dark. It was so cute. If you are a girl dad, this is the show. I absolutely loved it. It's strange that it is, though, TV. It says TV 14, but I don't understand how they came to that conclusion. But I absolutely loved it. And of course, like I told you guys before, C is like the absolute worst thing ever. Unless you like, let me give you a better example of what C is like. Game of Thrones. In a short, very small version, because it's like moves really, really quickly. And so there's some gory parts about it, and you're just like, oh my gosh, that took me too far out. But Home Before Dark,
you need to,
is so adorable.
You need to listen to more Nerdorama, because we profiled Home Before Dark on Nerdorama.
I do listen to Nerdorama, but I'm telling you that I watched it.
Okay, I'm just
nice.
This audience knows Home Before Dark.
Yeah, I'm just letting you know.
You know. What I just said is, I liked Home Before Dark. I'm watching everything on the channel, and I got two more things left.
Nice, nice. What about you, Anthony?
Did anybody see this trailer for Army of the Dead? Zack Snyder.
Unfortunately,
yes.
Talking about Suicide Squad in Las Vegas?
Yeah, with zombies this time. instead of witch doctors and brujas and shit like that running around the underground.
I saw it and I said to myself, so they do know we saw Suicide Squad, and they do know that none of us liked it, right?
My thing is, it's Zack Snyder. Like, what are you doing, man? Like,
I hate Zack Snyder so much.
Here's the whack thing about the trailer, and this is something that I truly don't understand, and maybe you all will disagree with me. But this film is centered around this group of, I don't know, this mercenaries or whatever, led by Dave Bautista. And they're running through Las Vegas fighting the Army of the Dead to what? No, not survive. They want to get this big payoff because there's this vault that's full of money. I need to understand what you're going to do with this money when the world is turned to zombies. Why do you need mercenaries to go get money? If you can explain that to me, maybe the film will make sense. Just please make it make sense.
I got nothing.
It's
Zack Snyder. Please make Martha being the centerpiece of the entire relationship between Batman and Superman make sense. It doesn't. It's Zack Snyder.
And all the screen will have like blue hue on it. That same filter.
And the problem is, I like
in crushed blacks.
I like, was it George? What is it? George? Who did like the art? Like, you know, Night of Living Dead, Day of the Dead, Dawn of the Dead.
George.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked his take on zombies. It's like, why are we ruining this right now?
I don't know. Maybe Zack Snyder, he just needs something to do. He's like,
something to ruin.
I'm going to get back out there. You know, my 4-hour treatise on superheroes will be hitting HBO Max soon.
March, was it March 11th, March 13th?
I think it's like first week or so of March, because they got to give it a little room to die out for King Kong versus Godzilla, which comes at the end of March.
Beware the Ides of March, yes.
You all picked the wrong person to end this thing on for me, because Zack Snyder just took harshed all of the mellow.
I'm not going to end it on Zack Snyder, because I do want to put this out there into the universe. And I know Wesley Snipes is talking about he's doing a project called Blade Killer, which I'm like, bro, you don't got to do that. I think Marvel needs to find a role for him in Mahershala Ali's Blade without a doubt. He deserves
it. Like New Whistler.
The MCU is the MCU because of Blade.
He's New Whistler. That's what it has to be. He's got to be either they invent this Blade as another Daywalker. And so he was the original Daywalker who got some blood virus, which is why he's old and he's not immortal anymore. He's aging because the blood virus, something, something, Cogliostro, yada, yada, whatever. And so now he's Whistler, and then he's helping the new Blade.
It has to happen.
That's the thing that makes sense. Plus, Wanda can do anything, so.
Why not? Why not? Hell. So campaign is up and running for Wesley Snipes to get a spot in the new Blade. Because the MCU was founded on it. So why not?
But Lord knows it's not going to be rated R either, though.
Yeah, no,
it might be. It might be. Maybe. Probably. I mean, look, it's a small chance.
It could be in the same world. I mean,
Feige is pretty solid on Deadpool being the only rated R flick.
Okay.
He says he's open to this, to the idea if the script makes sense.
Okay.
He kind of left the door open, but it's probably not going to be rated R, which is BS, I think.
I don't know, because I don't know if it needs to be, but I do know that we're not going to get cool ass lines like motherfuckers always trying to ice skate uphill.
Here's the thing, though.
Shit, man. It's my favorite shit.
I love it too, but you're killing vampires. They ain't no PG shit. I mean, you're literally killing people.
Yep.
Bro, I mean, ask Twilight.
Stop it.
They weren't killing vampires.
They should have been.
They didn't really
show
you.
They weren't killing them. They were giving them suntan lotion and cool clothes. No,
they were killing them in the end until you found out it was all a dream.
It was all a dream.
Okay.
We're a magazine.
We're a magazine.
740 sunblock up this thing.
Sorry, had to go there.
Oh, snap. All right. Anthony, send it off, brother.
Good news, everybody.
Multipass.
I'm looking forward for Black Superman, and I hope he's played by Ray Fisher. Thank you.
We are Groot.
I'm always picking up after you boys. Drop the Black Widow movie.
Excelsior!
The Knights of the Nerdo Roundtable are Mo Kelly, Tawala Sharp, Liz from the Freeway, Anthony from Two Cubicles Down, and me, John Considine. Our show is produced by Tawala Sharp, and our theme is by Breakmaster Cylinder. Nerdorama started on and continues on The Mo Kelly Show weekends on KFI Los Angeles. Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nerdorama News.